You are listening to the Holistic Hormone Podcast. I'm your host, Eleanor Dooley, and if you're seeking a deeper understanding of your body's inner workings, the reasons behind its actions and reactions, and you suspect that your hormones might be at play, you are in the right place, my friend. As a functional medicine nutritionist specializing in holistic hormone health for women, I bring together the latest research, my clinical expertise, and my own personal experiences to create a safe space for you to learn and explore. Just remember, this podcast provides information and inspiration for you, not medical diagnoses or treatments. Always consult your own doctor before making any changes. Now, are you ready to dive in? Let's get started. Hey everybody, it's Eleanor, and I want to let you know that this episode is sponsored by LifeWave. These little stem cell stimulating patches have made a great difference in my life, in my sleep, and in my healing, and in my energy. These stem cell stimulating patches contain a peptide that help your body to regrow and regenerate cells. And what they don't contain is chemicals and medicine. So if you're looking for something that is going to uplevel your life naturally without taking another supplement or medicine, this is a really truly well-researched way to help your body to do that naturally. The science behind these is well-researched and pretty compelling. If you want to look in the International Journal of Medical Sciences, LifeWave Patches has demonstrated significant benefits, not only for athletes, but for everyday people's quality of life. So if you're looking for more, you can head over to my website, and under the store tab, you will see these LifeWave patches. Hi, everybody. It's Eleanor Dooley. Welcome to the Holistic Hormone Podcast. I'm so glad that you're here. And I hope you listened to part one of the thyroid series. If you haven't, please go back and listen, because today is part two of the Holistic Thyroid series that I'm putting together to help you understand what is going on with your thyroid, what the labs mean, what you get tested. And today I'm going to talk about what the blood work actually shows when you get it tested, and what are common pharmaceuticals that are used, and what those are doing in the body, and how it relates to your symptoms and holistic healing. So if you've got your thyroid test done before and have found that the answers were not really helping you, then this episode is for you. So buckle in and let's get started. Many of you have had your TSH and T4 levels checked during a routine blood test. This is pretty typical and standard if you get annual blood work done, or if you suspect that there's something going on in your body. A lot of women describe it as feeling really fatigued all the time, not really getting that up and go feeling in the morning, slower metabolism, weight gain just continually creeping, and really just not feeling connected with your body and with yourself. That's pretty much how it's described to me when people talk about having thyroid dysregulation, or they don't even really know why or what's going on. And furthermore, they can go get their blood work done and the TSH and T4 is normal. And this can be incredibly frustrating and discouraging, because when you suspect you have a thyroid issue and you get those things tested, you expect them to be off and you get a medication to help bring those back into the right levels. So I'm going to go into why that might be the case and what might actually be going on. So yesterday we talked about TSH, or whenever you listen to part one, TSH is the thyroid stimulating hormone, and that's a signal from your pituitary gland. So from your brain, to tell your thyroid how much T4 or thyroxine to produce. And thyroxine is the main hormone produced by the thyroid gland. But as I spoke about before, T4 is inactive. So it has to be converted to T3 to be actually used in the body for energy and for to be absorbed into the cells. So this conversion and the utilization of T3 are really crucial in understanding metabolism and energy, but neither TSH nor T4 measures how well this conversion is happening or how effectively T3 is being used by the cells. So that's why TSH and T4 testing alone often falls short of understanding what's going on. So first I want to talk about why are they tested then? Like, what information are they giving us using that blood work if it's not addressing the issue? Well, the focus on TSH and T4 in conventional medicine is largely accepted because of a historical precedent of it being cost effective. It is really cheap to test these things. And because it is considered a reliable marker of thyroid function, if we measure what comes out of the thyroid, then that tells us if the thyroid is actually functioning well or not. And that's basically it. Because the TSH and T4 are on a negative feedback loop, and what that means, I had to break it down for myself a few times, but basically it's the brain, the pituitary gland, determines by the amount of T4 that is produced, if it should make more TSH or not. So if there's a lot of T4, then the brain says, stop making TSH, which will stop the thyroid from making so much T4. And if there's not a lot of T4, if it's super scarce, that triggers the brain to say, make more TSH. So it's just this loop of one stimulating hormone and one other, actually inactive, but a hormone that is produced from the thyroid. So those are the tests, because they're less expensive, they're extremely standardized, and they're missing a big part of what needs to be looked at. So why is it hard to get this information? Well, I have many clients come to me saying they asked their GYN for this blood work or a full thyroid panel, and they didn't get it. The doctor said that, oh, that's not necessary. To be fair, it's really not standard protocol, because there's not a ton of education in the rest of the system. So the liver and the cells and the things I talked about yesterday, and insurance companies want to do cheap things that lead to you buying expensive pharmaceuticals. It is a business. So if you put it in that light, of course they want to medicate the system to quote unquote fix it. And if we're talking about things later down the line, like the liver and the cells, there's not really medication for that. So in a business model, it doesn't make sense to test for all the other things, because there's nothing that they're pharmaceutically going to do about it. So if that causes a little bit of rage inside your body, which it does mine, then I'm there with you. Because to me, that's not good enough. The conventional model tends to focus on treatment of symptoms. Because if your, and I love this word, complaint goes away, then they've done their job, because you're no longer complaining. But we all know, you wouldn't be 59 episodes into this podcast if you didn't realize that that's not the fundamental part of healing the body, healing damaged tissue, healing the processes, and by removing toxicity. That's not good enough for me. That's not good enough for you. You deserve a model where your body can take over and do things naturally and not have to rely on medications and increasing medications for the rest of your life. So, that being said, that's why it's not conventional.
Because TSH and T4, as far as a typical blood work panel is concerned, will tell us everything we need to know about the thyroid. It does actually tell us if the thyroid's functioning, because if TSH goes in and T4 comes out, it tells us if the thyroid's functioning. What it doesn't describe is why you're experiencing the symptoms, because the symptoms are all about what happens later in the liver and in the cells. And it's astonishing to me that doctors typically don't take into account the stress on the liver and how it affects the amount of T3 produced. The liver is responsible for converting T4 to T3. And when it's under stress, and things we don't often think about, like diet, excessive medications, this conversion process can be really compromised. Also, damage to the thyroid hormone receptors. We talked about this last time. This is where the energy can actually get into the cell and be of use to your metabolism. If those receptors are damaged because of plastic exposure, chemicals from our food, radiation in our drinking water, these toxic exposures create inflammation, and they create a difficulty for those receptors to actually, like the key in the lock, right? The thyroid, the T3 fits into the T3 lock. When that doesn't happen, because that lock is jammed with a bunch of toxicity, and you know, some of these endocrine disrupting chemicals, you wonder why something, a receptor that's built for something that's specifically only for T3, how does junk get in there? Well, it gets in there because chemically it mimics T3. Similar with estrogen receptors. The body, if the key kind of fits in the lock, it's going to go in, whether it's the exact purpose and thing that the body creates, or whether it's a toxin that was introduced in the body. So this is why it's important to look at the environmental factors and toxins that are being introduced into your body, because if we can reduce those while also detoxing on the inside, then it's much more likely that those receptors are going to be open and willing and ready to receive the T3 naturally, because your liver has produced it. So that's what we're trying to complete with this system. We're trying to go from the TSH in the brain all the way through to T3 getting into the cell, so the body can feel that energy and stimulate the metabolism that we all really want. So I'm going to talk for a moment about thyroid medications, because a lot of women come into my practice, they're either on medications for their thyroid, or they've been told that they should go on, or they're trying to get off. So it's some variation of that. And common thyroid medications such as Synthroid or levothyroxine, you might have heard of that. It's designed to increase T4 levels in the body, because remember, it's a negative feedback loop. So when we increase T4, it brings the TSH levels down. The T4 tells the brain, stop making so much TSH, and it brings it into a normal range. But by simply manipulating that system, we're not really looking at why T3 is not entering the cell. Right? We're just looking at that initial piece of that puzzle. So if the puzzle was six steps, we're looking at step 1, 2, not 5, 6, which is where the energy and metabolism get made and used and absorbed. So we can manipulate the way that the blood work looks simply by adding in some synthetic TSH. This is why you can be on medication and not feel better, or you can feel marginally better or slightly better. Symptoms might feel a little better, but you're expecting the system to be completely fixed. And most likely you didn't even really realize that the liver and the receptors on the cells was actually involved. So if you're experiencing these common symptoms, that bone fatigue and just that like mood swings and brain fog and those typical things that we associate with hypothyroidism, testing for TSH and T4 is not going to provide enough information for you to figure out why you're experiencing those. So what do we want to test for? We want to see T3 and free T3. So those are two hormones that we're looking for. So the unbound, meaning it's not connected to anything, and free, an active form of the thyroid. So those are indicators of what is coming out of the liver and what has the ability to get into the receptor cells, okay? So when you get T3 and free T3 tested, we can understand how well T4 is actually being converted. So if the liver is having problems, that's a great indicator for us to know. Now, reverse T3. Now, this is an interesting thing to see on your blood work because it's actually an inactive form of T3. So why would the liver, it gets all its T4, why would it spit out T3 that's not usable? You ask yourself, like, why would you make something that can't be used? Well, T3 is responsible for stimulating metabolism and energy production. And RT3 actually blocks the ability, so it'll get into those receptors and it blocks T3 from getting into the cell. Because if the body knows it has to focus its energy on healing, such as stress, illness, infection, parasites, mold exposure, damaged tissue, if it knows you're sick, because that's the priority in the body, right? Healing damaged tissue, it's not going to allow you to make a whole lot of extra energy so that you can go work out and train for a marathon and do all of these things, spending extra energy that needs to be conserved. So it's actually a safety mechanism, which is really kind of cool. So when you see RT3 on testing, and if that is high or elevated outside the optimal range, it's telling you that there is something so much more important in the body, like an infection, that you need to spend time figuring out what that is and healing from that, rather than worrying about why your metabolism is slowed at this point. Because your body is basically tripping a safety switch and saying, go figure it out so that I can stop making RT3 and then give you the active T3. So it's not the liver's fault in this case, it's actually a safety mechanism. So that's an important marker to know. I wanna know if my RT3 is high because that means I've gotta focus somewhere else. Another important marker is thyroid antibody testing. So we've heard antibodies before, we kind of know what they are, but thyroid peroxidase or TPO, you can see that written as an abbreviation, it indicates the presence of autoimmune thyroid diseases, things like Hashimoto's, if you've ever heard of that, Hashimoto's thyroiditis. In blood work, elevated levels of these antibodies suggest that the immune system is actually attacking the thyroid gland, potentially leading to, of course, inflammation, impaired thyroid function. But guess what? The TSH and T4 levels can be completely normal if this is happening. So something is damaging the thyroid, the calls coming from within the house, right? Your body is attacking your thyroid, but guess what? Your TSH and T4, completely fine because that part is working. So when we can find out if these antibodies are present, we can look at targeted treatment strategies to manage the symptoms. We can do this through eliminating gluten. We can do this by making sure that any supplements or minerals that are needed for that thyroid to promote and repair the tissue of the thyroid. Also, we do want to know why the body is potentially attacking itself. When this happens, it means that there is something in the body, something mimicking the chemical makeup of what it's attacking, because that's your body's way of flushing out, like, this is something is wrong here. And so we have to see this on the blood work. Otherwise, it's just going to continue attacking itself without us knowing. Another great indicator, if you just get a basic blood panel, which is what I do for my clients, in addition to a full thyroid panel, that is liver function. So we want to look at things like AST, ALT. You probably recognize those letters from just a CBC, your regular old blood panel. Alkaline phosphatase or ALKphos. Those are three liver enzymes that we can look at in blood work to see if the liver is inflamed, if the liver's having problems doing its job, which it does about a billion jobs. Converting T4 to T3 might be one of them. And so that's a super important piece of this like six-step puzzle. That's like step three and four after the TSH and T4. So this comes after those measurements are done. We want to look at how your liver is handling things. So basically, without these additional tests and markers, critical aspects of thyroid health they're missed. Patients go with unresolved symptoms, even though the testing says it's normal. That's the part that I really want to stress. If you've gotten blood work back expecting answers and been told you're not sick enough yet, your T4 and TSH is fine, it doesn't mean that there's not an underlying imbalance that will eventually lead to tissue damage, to elevated levels in the blood elsewhere, causing more problems down the line. So it is important to get a full look at the whole system in your body. This is why I offer a full thyroid panel with patients that come into my practice, because it's important not only for me to see the numbers, but I need you to understand how important your diet is, right? If we're eating a lot of foods that are not organic, that have a lot of chemicals, that or we're not eating enough. This is pretty classic these days, that calorie deficit that we all are supposed to be in to lose weight. It causes problems in the body because it actually leads to malnourishment, which means the nourishment is not present for our body to function naturally. And when that happens, the body has to find alternate ways to find those things to keep you alive. We often can tell that there's a problem because the symptoms are telling us. So if you suspect that you have a thyroid issue and doctors have told you, well, your T4 and your TSH look fine, then I recommend going back and asking them for a full thyroid panel. And then you can bring it to me and I can read you the whole panel, because most likely they don't get asked that often enough for them to understand what that T3, what the RT3, what the antibodies are telling you. So getting a panel and them saying, I don't know how to read it, is also not going to help you out. So this is why with each patient, I go through this whole process. I actually have a picture and I walk you through each of the steps so that you get the connection with, oh my goodness, yes, this is why I need protein in my diet. I actually need those amino acids for my liver to be able to convert T4 to T3. So there's a lot of connections to be made here about your health and your thyroid. And I'm so excited to move on to part three, which will be coming out in about 2 weeks. And I'm going to describe what are the natural next steps. What can you do to help your liver, to help your thyroid, and improve cellular health? What supplements do I recommend for this and why? And when I talk about supplements, I try to clarify the fact that I don't necessarily mean that you need to go to Whole Foods and grab some zinc and grab some vitamin C. While those things can be helpful, they're not actually targeted at the processes that are happening in the body. What we need to ensure is that you are actively detoxing, that binders are pulling out toxins from your cells and getting them out of the body. You're not going to want to miss part three. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Holistic Hormone Podcast. I'm Eleanor Dooley. Be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel, and you can find me on all of the places where most people listen to podcasts. If you want to reach out to me, you can always come to my website, eleanordooley.com. I've got some great free resources on there for you, and I can't wait to hear your comments. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to the Holistic Hormone Podcast. I appreciate you being part of our community, and I hope you found today's episode truly valuable. If this podcast meant something to you and you'd like to show your support, please consider leaving me a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Your reviews help others discover this valuable information. Don't forget to stay connected with me on social media. You can always find me on Instagram at holistic.hormone.specialist, where I share insights, tips, and updates to keep you informed and inspired. And if you're interested in exploring my latest programs and resources, head over to nourishingnutrition.net to see what's new and how you can further your journey to holistic hormone health. Once again, thanks for being part of this podcast family. Your health and well-being matter, and I'm here to support you every step of the way. Until next time, take care and stay hormonally balanced.